good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And hello, Southern California. Welcome to yet another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And today's topic is called, Where Did Astrology Come From? So we're going to talk a little bit about the roots and the history and the foundations of astrology. And because today is a no-forecast Monday, the winner of a general question contest, the best question, will receive a private visit down to the control room and the book Astrology for Yourself by Douglas Block. Unless you're a good enough student that you've already gone out and purchased it. Only my best students run out and buy that book, right? All right. Yeah. Okay, let's see what's going on today. There's so much astrology in the news, it's starting to blow my mind, I'll tell you. It really is going wild. I heard there was an article in the Times this morning. Astronomers were making comments about astrology. I hate to say this, but astronomers are the people that know the littlest about astrology. These are people that are dealing with really telescopes and spectral analysis and such. When it comes to trying to figure out human behavior by using the stars, they're the last people to ask. But I guess the LA Times wanted to get a story from somebody. So sorry about that article if somebody saw that. But if you want to know something about astrology, then you should either listen to the Astrology Hour, pick up a book like Astrology for Yourself, or just go ahead and, get your chart done. That's the best way to find out. There's just so much hearsay. You know, someone else said that maybe this Nostradamus prediction about the earthquake was really a major awakening of astrology in May of 88 on this planet, because things are really going berserk. You better believe that. Okay, let's talk about this topic, and I don't recall recent past ever doing a topic on where did astrology come from before. I've thought a lot about it in my life, you know, in my history of existences throughout eternity, whatever, where astrology might have come from. But because of what's been in the news lately, I guess a lot of people are also asking themselves that same question. Where did astrology come from? And what is it all about? What does it mean? Sometimes I think that astrology might have come from the fact that people started analyzing the sky and they realized that major incidents started happening. Can you imagine there being a certain planetary configuration, like a Mars square Uranus that happened last October, where all of a sudden there was a big earthquake in California? Or like right now, for example, hypothetically speaking, let's say that Venus would be going into Cancer at tomorrow, 9:26 in the morning. And then that would make it exactly opposition Uranus at 6:38 in the morning, and also Saturn, actually for the next few weeks, because Venus will go retrograde in Cancer, it'll be an aspect exactly opposite two big planets, Saturn and Uranus in Cancer. Well, this can do a lot of things. See, for example, a lot of times people say, how was astrology developed? I think astrology was developed through diaries. In other words, I think that actually ancient astrologers kept track of the planetary movements and a birth of certain children and the beginnings of new events and such. And then what they did was they created date situations when something vital really happened, and they noted the astronomical location at that point, and therefore they got an explanation as to what that particular aspect meant. Like, a lot can happen on this planet during this heavy hypothetical opposition I'm talking about, where Venus will be at zero Cancer, say, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, actually all the way up to like the 27th or 28th, Venus will be opposition Saturn-Uranus in Capricorn, and that can create a very heavy thing in the world. It could be another stock market crash. I'm not going to say you heard it right here in the Astrology Hour, but I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But sometimes when Venus, the planet of money, is opposed Saturn, which is the planet of karma, and Uranus, which is the planet of shock changes, then we note a drastic change in the economic structure of nations, especially the United States and Japan, because they are supposedly the two most powerful of the economic nations. So that's one of the effects of the Venus-Saturn-Uranus opposition, which is peaking Wednesday morning, okay, and Thursday also continuing. So there's something to look out for there. Now also, because Los Angeles has early cardinals in its chart, including early Libra and early Capricorn, I think early Cancer in its chart, the Venus opposition Saturn-Uranus is affecting LA's chart, hence the earthquake watch. for Southern California. Now, we're not looking at as intense a watch as we were last October. And this in no way is really the Nostradamus prediction, because that's pretty much history. I think May 10th was that date that he picked. But still in all, you might notice some personal changes in your life, particularly if you should happen to have planets in your chart that are early cardinal, like something zero Cancer, zero Aries, zero Libra, or zero Capricorn, from like zero to four. And if you notice something very drastic and sudden and changeable, financial, affecting your life in the next 10, 12 days, then you might be able to feel the Venus-Saturn opposition and Venus-Uranus opposition that is happening. This is a very, very vital aspect. Also, we'll take a long look at potential worldwide catastrophes or technological disasters, like this thing that happened in Nevada the other day when the rocket plant exploded. That already is a Uranus-type event. Whenever you have explosions or sudden shocking situations happening, that's a Uranus event. With Saturn already conjunct Uranus, we've been having all kinds of that stuff go on. Now with Venus going retrograde and Cancer opposed those two planets for so long, for a 12-day period, we can also expect to see some other shocking things in the news. So this is the way I feel astrology was really established. I feel that astrology as a science of human correlations. Are those headphones too loud for you? No? Okay. I got one of our winners in the studio. I won't say her name because she's just sitting here listening to the show. But anyway, one of those things that we like to look for when trying to understand where astrology came from is that somewhere, someone, somehow established a scale or a system of correlations where, like, we got our system of math because 1 plus 1 equals 2 or because 2 plus 2 equals 4. We get a system of astrology because Leo equals gregariousness, enthusiasm, and Virgo equals work and practicality, and Libra equals balance, and Scorpio equals intensity and transition and transformation, and Sagittarius philosophy and expansion. I mean, but these just weren't random things that were assigned to these areas of space. What I believe that in conjunction to several events happening throughout world history, especially ancient world history, including Atlantis, Lemuria, and Mu, those ancient civilizations, right? That in coordination with very evolved, wise analysts of the universe, people that took the time, because maybe they had nothing better to do, to record on paper or somehow the movement of particularly the Sun and the Moon and the visible planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, as they did move through the sky, that they finally were able to identify different parts of the sky through the stellar constellations that we now refer to as Aries through Pisces, right? And that they came up with certain substantial correlations that we were able to finally identify and reveal energy patterns and vibrations that would affect us according to what planet would be in what sign. So I think astrology did take a long time to develop and a long time for us to accept. I do think we got some help. I do think that if there is any UFO contact or extraterrestrial contact on this planet at all, that it's not something new, that it's probably something that's been going on for not only hundreds of thousands of years, but who knows, maybe millions of years. Maybe part of the reason why life is on this planet Earth may have something to do with an extraterrestrial interference. A lot of people think Earth is like a lab-type experiment, and that human beings are part of that experiment. So it almost seems that way back when people and human beings were gaining their intelligence and their reason and their knowledge and their wisdom, and they were looking for further truth to try to explain the whole thing, that something like astrology may have been given to them. Maybe we were given a hint as to the angle as to how this all works. A lot of times I talk about extraterrestrial souls. Last week I did a topic on, are you an extraterrestrial soul that the people loved? And I know you know if you are one, right? E.T. phone home, right? But actually, considering that you might be an extraterrestrial soul, then there's also a dramatic possibility that extraterrestrial souls also incarnated into human bodies at the dawn of time, at the dawn of human history. And in that way, if an extraterrestrial being did incarnate into a human body, then maybe this being brought its knowledge of astrological influence. Now, there's other ways. You know, like I myself take a look at what brought me here to the Astrology Hour, what brought me here to this mission in life of enlightening people and revealing certain astrological truths that I have discovered and proven for myself. And actually what has brought me here specifically is meditation. When I first took up transcendental style meditation in 1976, it seems like my mind and my intuitive mind was opened up to a vast area of untapped knowledge that was all about astrology. And I didn't get this from books or from teachers or from classes. I got it from myself. And it makes me tend to think that maybe in those olden times, that in
coordination with potential extraterrestrial interference, also in coordination with extraterrestrial incarnations, and with the study of the celestial sphere and the planets, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and keeping those diaries and forming correlations, that it all came together into an outstanding science of human behavior that we now know and respect and understand as astrology. But still in all, we still have people out there that are skeptical, that don't believe in astrology, that won't accept it. They won't even accept their sun sign. You know, even though there's been something inside of me ever since I was a little boy that said, Farley, you know this stuff works. You're a Leo. You got to face the fact that you are a Leo, and you epitomize a lot of this stuff that is written in the books about the Leo 9 sun sign, and even though some of those daily horoscopes are pretty uncanny, right? But when you go beyond that, see, when you finally get to the point that, number one, you do accept that there is some kind of vibration astrologically that does work, that does validate astrology as an important scientific explanation to human behavior and vibrations that affect this planet. When you go beyond that, when you finally have overcome your dogma and your stubbornness that says this doesn't work, and a lot of people now are reading the paper and looking in the news and they're saying, well, if the president can do it, well, if Donald Trump, you know, one of the richest men in the world, can't make a decision without getting his advice from his astrologer wife, it makes you wonder, because this planet is the planet of competition, right? Because it's seemingly the winners of this planet who are the rich and the successful, like a Ronald Reagan or a Donald Trump, people that are fighting in this wild game called life to excel and to succeed and to rise above. And when you find out they are using an edge like astrology that not only they believe is real, but they frankly don't even want to share it with the public. You notice how the Reagans don't really want the public to know how deeply invested they are into astrology and metaphysics. Not only is it against national security, because maybe we're not that into letting the Russians know how much we use astrology to run our government, right? Which I believe we use it a lot. I believe the United States government has employed professional astrologers right now. That not only do the Reagans use astrologers, that we have astrologers on staff with the government. Now, don't quote me. I'm sure the LA Times will call me up and say, we want to do a story on that, and I'm never going to admit that I have been hired by the government to do a nuclear war study for the next 30 years on this planet. I'm not going to admit that, right? But the point of the matter is that a lot exists, and there is a major cover-up, and there seems to be, along the lines with the age of Pisces, a major veil that has restricted consciousness and truths. You got all these people out there that are suffering and starving and fighting in the middle class, right? And fighting in the lower class and looking for food and looking for shelter and looking for clothing. And here they see some of the richest, most powerful people in the world, like a Donald Trump or a Ronald Reagan or a Lily Tomlin or a Morgan Fairchild or a Boy George or all these people that are using astrology actively in their careers, in their choices, and they are becoming successful. Now, what does that seem to tell you? Now, understanding we are in a competitive mode and also knowing that astrology is not something to be misused. You know, we're not trying to really use astrology to help us beat the other guy. I had a couple of my stockbroker friends call me from St. Louis today saying, Farley, let us know exactly the moment of the stock market crash so we can put a couple of major puts in the market and make money from it. I said, hey, you know, I'm not going to tell you that stuff. It's not my reason to live on life to help people make millions of dollars by misusing astrology. Astrology is a science that reveals spiritual truths that helps us understand our uniqueness, this illusion of separation that we have chosen, so we can hopefully overcome this illusion and plug into the oneness that we all share, this oneness of God that I talk about. So I think astrology is an important science of vibratory issues that help us understand the God force at work and the human role involved within that God force. So people out there that may be using astrology to become a success, or I don't think Reagan is misusing it because he might be more interested in his own personal security or when to sign certain peace treaties or when to have certain meetings that would affect his own personal reputation and career. So in a way, he's trying to be selfless because he's protecting the president, because he is the president, right? A guy like Donald Trump, on the other hand, might use astrology to buy a major hotel in Atlantic City. And then again, one wonders if astrology is not being misused because it is basically definitely a spiritual science. We're going to talk a little bit more about this interesting topic, I think. I think it's pretty interesting, don't you? Where did astrology come from? KFOX 93.5 FM. I'm Farley Malarish, your host, weekdays at 12 noon. You know, something is definitely happening to the planet. Something very exciting is happening to the planet. I think this is something that I always expected would happen. The fact that sometime in my life, suddenly astrology would receive a publicity or an attention, you got to believe that if it was hocus pocus that it might make the papers for one quick day and then we wouldn't hear anything about it. Astrology has been in the news every day for weeks now. And obviously there is something going on. There seems to be a rebirth of consciousness, a rebirth of awareness. I have always felt that as this solar system moves from the Piscean vibration into the Aquarian vibration, that the Piscean veil would be lifted and the Aquarian clarity would become obvious, Aquarius being the Lord and ruling vibration of astrological knowledge. So obviously a lot of people are being open to the knowledge in their intuitive mind right now, and that's why astrology is receiving so much publicity. The fun part about the Astrology Hour is it's one of the most instant places in L.A., especially, where this type of consciousness is prevalent, this show being the proof of that the last 4 years here on KFOX, where people can get their charts in the mail and prove it for themselves. I love astrology. To me, it's very interesting, and it is very fascinating as a way to explain how life works, the complexities and intricacies and unique sort of qualities that each person has. In a way, when I look at people as I move down my path of spiritual growth, I really do see everyone as the same. It's funny, I think the more evolved you get in spiritual training, that you actually can sense the oneness that we all share rather easily. And I kind of go back and forth from looking at a person's uniqueness in their astrology chart and then seeing them in their totally evolved state, one with God, or representing the same being that is inside each and every one of us. I really noticed that over the weekend in St. Louis when I went back for a family reunion, especially with the children, how they, even though they're in different bodies, they all reflect the same soul, the same love, the same light, that same messianic being that lives inside each and every one of us. And I really thank astrology for helping me unravel this complex maze of life that we're all involved in, because I am able to get along better and also be happier and live more freely in my life by understanding that we are all one, and by helping other people get to that same premise, by helping them, other people that is, by helping them understand astrology and wade through this complex maze of uniqueness that we have chosen. It's so funny, it's like we're all a bunch of glow beings, right? We're all a bunch of glow beings that come from the same glow ball, and we all decide to incarnate in these individual bodies. You know, somebody says, I'm going to be a white man in Sweden, and I'm going to be a black woman in South Los Angeles, or I'm going to be a Mexican-American in South San Diego, or, you know, just it's just your choices of race, color, creed, nationality, religion. It's just unbelievable. It goes a lot beyond than just, for example, like buying a car or something. When you choose your bodies and your families and your environments and your astrological vibration prior to birth, it gets pretty exciting. And that's really what the universe is a system, is a metaphysical system that is used by us as souls to help create a unique vibration that affects the being at birth. It's a magical effect. It's an unbelievably powerful effect that charges all of our cells in multi-levels, multi-dimensions of our own self, right? It charges these cells with an astrological imprint of where the sun, the moon, and all the planets were frozen at birth. Each and every cell in our body and in our brains are affected by this birth moment. And we go through life with this energy vehicle that affects us, that helps explain so many things, especially how we're going to react to certain choices and certain decisions, what people we might be attracted to and what people we might not be attracted to, what might happen with our families and our mothers and fathers, how we might relate to them and our brothers and sisters, careers we might tend to be more prone towards. You'll find a person with a pronounced Uranus, right? Maybe elevated Uranus in an air sign with a few trines on it, to be a natural scientist or computer operator. Whereas a person with a lot of Earth, maybe an overdose of Virgo in the sixth house, might make a much better surgeon or engineer. Like a person like me with Venus and Uranus together in the ninth house is a natural astrologer. So a lot of times it's hard not to follow the course of least resistance, because it seems like this charge that our bodies are affected by when we take our first breath really, in many ways, will push us towards many certain areas and avenues in our life, certain choices. We could fulfill certain growth patterns and karmic situations to evolve to our highest good. A lot of people believe that the planetary effect at birth doesn't impel a person, but it compels a person. I believe both vibrations are at work. I think planetary aspects at birth not only help impel you to certain areas and avenues and choices, but that you will be compelled to actually make a certain choice because you are affected by a certain vehicular vibration in your soul or affecting your body at birth. So some astrologers might disagree with me on that one, but that's just my personal opinion. For whatever reason, astrology has gained tremendous historical importance. And it being the oldest science on this planet, older than almost anything, even known languages, is something that has hung around all this time. It leads me to believe that not only is this something that has been intuitive inside of all of us, but something that has also been proven by those ancient astrologers that kept their diaries, and also something that has been delivered to us by the ancient astronauts, by the extraterrestrials that tried to help us understand the mechanics and the metaphysics of life on Earth. So it is a very, very fascinating science, and not an accident that you also may be interested or finally involved in studying astrology and understanding astrology as a humanistic behavioral science, which it truly, really is. Okay, we're going to go to our phones now. Let's go to line two now and talk to Judy. Hello, Judy. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Real good.
Great. My question today is, could you say, in your opinion, what do you believe personal mantras are and why do they work?
Personal mantras, you mean something you might develop it within yourself?
Or something, say, like I went to your meditation class and you gave me a personal mantra and it's proven itself over and over, and I just wondered what exactly they are and why do they work?
Would you want to share with us some of the things that have happened from using that mantra?
Well, I just wrote it to you detailed in a letter I sent you last week with an order, but I just had a amazing dream last week between the crystals and the mantra that in the middle of the dream, I woke up because someone in my family had woken up that I had to console, and I used my mantra and the crystals to get back to the exact dream, and they told me I was back, and that was fairly amazing. Otherwise, it's been just wonderful in my meditations to just unlock the door to get me to where I want to go.
Well, this is what my experience is along that. You see, I was inspired to give that meditation class because I had come along the lines in my path to spiritual evolvement where suddenly I was notified that I had somehow become qualified to develop mantras from my own higher self and from my guides in my personal meditation, which I did do for other people. And I knew that a unique group would come to me for that meditation class. I think there was like 20 of you in that class that day.
Right, 21 of us.
And, you know, everybody that was there was pretty aware that it was almost like a biblical experience, a lot of it. It was pretty incredible. And I find that the mantra, really, in my opinion, is a spiritual key that is delivered to us, for example, through an individual teacher like myself, who would receive this mantra from my higher self and perhaps delivered to me through your guide or your higher self that would be finally delivered to you, that would be a key or a vibration, right? Mm-hmm. Just like colors and vibrations affect us all uniquely, everyone has a certain vibration that seems to unlock a spiritual level where you can graduate to higher awareness and higher consciousness. So, you know, the best forms of meditation, of course, are forms of meditation where you can have a group or a teacher deliver a mantra to you. Because usually if you have one person like myself that's been meditating for 12 or 14 years, then I reach a certain echelon in my own personal growth where not only I have been able to work out a lot through my own personal meditations personally, but now I can be used as a channel or a transmitter to help open other people up through their meditation. So in a way, you're kind of validating in my own mind that you know, this wasn't an accident that I had the meditation class and that these mantras we did give out were in fact authentic and were these spiritual keys, this vibration that would be used inside of your own self to unlock many spiritual doors that, have, as you know now, have lifted you and probably changed your consciousness drastically.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
All right, maybe one day you'll be a teacher too and you'll deliver mantras for other people.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great question. And I know so many of you have questions out there and it's so hard to get through during the week when the phones are booked with people that have questions about their careers and relationships and such, which are important. But Monday is traditionally a show that is a student-teacher show that gives you the opportunity to talk directly to Farley Mallaris, myself, and ask me any question about astrology, metaphysics, karma, or the spirit of the world or God or anything you want. And, you know, if you ask one question, you're probably representing the thoughts of lots of people. So take this opportunity to please give us a call. And don't be shy, because I love you, and you will receive a nice bolt of energy from the phone call, maybe a healing bolt. Let's go to Elizabeth now on line 8. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you for calling.
Well, you're welcome. Finally, I'm kind of new to your show. I live in Orange County, and I just got a radio that picks it up.
Well, isn't that exciting?
It is. It really is very exciting to me, and I just can't go a day without listening to your show.
Oh, well, God bless you. I think it's a lot of fun.
Thank you. So you'll forgive me if you've covered the subject that I'm about to ask.
Oh, if you have a question, then there's probably thousands of people that want to hear the answer to.
Thank you for those comments you made a few minutes ago about welcoming your callers.
All right.
It's a little scary.
Well, I always like to take a deep breath. It's scary on this end, too.
Okay, thank you. I know with your computers, you can go forward and see things. I guess that's the way to put it. But can you go backwards in time at all and pinpoint dates of major events?
You know, that one of the most exciting things about astrology as people move into their advanced nature is that the validation of how astrology works is when a person is finally able to do exactly that. To look back in their past, like I've had certain incidences, obviously now, when I look back at my separation and divorce, when I look back at the death of my grandparents, when I look back at the deaths of my best friends, when I look back at an eye injury I had, a BB ricochet I took when I was a child, the transits that I were having during those days, without question, would be things that an astrologer would look at and say that you are shown a critical transit or change or rebirth at this point in your life. And that in itself has been one of the number one reasons why I got into astrology, because I was able to look back in my history and find those areas where obvious transits did go down.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, so, you know, like, the best way to do that is to keep studying and learn how to read the ephemeris. You know, at the Bodhi Tree, they have these books that go back to 1900, where you can look up any year you want, or if you get the book The Complete Astrologer by Derek Parker.
I had that book.
Yeah, you have it?
I had it, and I loaned it to a lady who babysat for me, and I don't know if I'll ever get it back.
Real good. Send her a bill for it, right? But
also a book by Grant Louis that I love.
Uh-huh. But I will say this, Elizabeth. If you ever do get a reading from an astrologer, like some people who can't afford my $200 ticket, we'll call James Coleman, my associate astrologer.
Uh-huh.
And going into him with past dates of major incidents in your life and having him look up the aspect, it's very interesting. It gets very interesting when you start looking at astrology like that.
Okay, and thank you for talking.
Thank you very much. Bye. And thanks for having the nerve to call, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Farley Mallers. This is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, where you can hear the Astrology Hour weekdays at 12 noon on the Fox. Tomorrow, our two-hour edition from 12 noon to 2 o'clock, and I have some pretty powerful topics this week, so don't miss a single show. We may be going a little over today, so I'm going to try to talk to everybody on the phones for sure. So let's go to Betty on line 5. Betty, you knew we were going to get it, right?
Yeah. Hi, Farley. How are you?
Real good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Your show is great, and I feel really bad because I don't get to listen to it every day. In fact, I'm at work right now, and I had to busy out the phone so that I could listen in.
Well, Betty, I don't ever want you to feel bad for any reason.
Oh, you're sweet.
What you have to do is just say, you love yourself, look in the mirror, and be humble about it, and don't feel bad.
Oh, thank you.
Because when people feel bad, they create all this, you know, unbalance in their aura and stuff.
Listen.
What you got to do is say, Farley, I feel good because I can't listen to your show and cry about it. You know, that makes you feel better.
The reason I was calling is I didn't hear the beginning of the show, so I don't know if somebody asked you this question, but I was reading the LA Times review section this morning, and I got really upset. Did anybody bring this up about the astronomer's question, astrology's appeal?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, astronomers, they just like to blast their ignorance. You know, it's like whenever you get people in the news that say that they try to disclaim something and saying it'll never happen, you know? It's like, remember for centuries, people were always putting women down and saying, there'd never be a woman running for president, and there'd never be a woman wouldn't even get to vote. And you know, women are doing fine. You know, for centuries they said the black people wouldn't have any freedom, and uh-huh. The Jewish people wouldn't have any freedom. And it seems like every time somebody's out there saying this is not true, it ends up being definitely true, you know?
One thing that they said in particular, and I don't understand how they can say this, is they said that 2,000 years ago that people's signs were aligned with the sun. And that now because of precession, that a person born, say, in late August or September, today actually the sun is in Leo.
Okay, you see, what's happening here is that's true, okay, that is true.
Uh-huh.
But the power of astrology is that what we use is we use the identification of areas of space from thousands of years ago. You understand? It's like astronomically speaking, the signs are off like one segment. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the stars aren't the things that hold the power. It's what's behind the stars. And these constellations that identified Leo some hundreds of thousands of years ago have definitely moved on, but the vibration of Leo is still in that part of space.
It's still there.
That's right. So, you know, like astronomers place the importance into the stars, mm-hmm. and astrologers know the importance is not in the stars, it's what they identified.
I see.
See, like the stars are basically used to help identify a map of the universe. See, there's billions of stars back there behind the moving stars that we sense that have not moved.
Uh-huh.
And that truly is Leo back there.
Right, I understand.
You understand? See, this dimension is pretty darn interesting, but astronomers don't know what they're talking about when they try to discuss astrology. It's just the LA Times has published so much astrology information.
Mm-hmm.
They've had articles on me left and right, God bless them, that they were bound to have somebody else up there to give the other side of the fence. And I think that's okay. Thank you, Betty. You know, that was so good.
Yeah.
So that I like that because that is a question that stands out in a lot of people's mind. I think you'll agree that a lot of people wonder about the difference between the astronomy and the astrology vibration.
Right.
Okay, Betty. Thank you for calling. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.